Welcome to English Eden. I'm your host, Tyler Hawk, and today we'll be looking at the complicated topic of participles, or participles as they're pronounced in England. In the first part of this episode, I will explain what a participle is, its functions, and the different types of participles. In the second part, I'll define what a participle phrase is, and how to spot one, and use one to make your sentences more concise. Finally, I'll finish the episode with a description of the errors that commonly occur with participles. The easy definition of a participle is just the form of a verb that ends in ing or ed and acts as an adjective or adverb. Participles are typically called the third and fourth parts of a verb because verb tenses are usually listed in the order of present, past, past participle, and present participle. As an example, a verb listed into parts would be a verb like play, which in the present is play. Past is played. The past participle is have played. And the present participle is playing. Present participles are the form of the verb that ends in ing. When a present participle acts as a noun in a sentence, it is called a gerund. Listen to episode 3 of English Eden for more information on gerunds. Present participles that work as adjectives or adverbs are just called participles. Past participles are the form of a verb that ends in ed in regular verbs like the verb kick. The past participle of the verb kick would be kicked. Irregular verbs also have past participles, though, which can be more difficult to identify. Irregular past participles can have a variety of endings. Some examples are verbs like sleep and slept, bring and brought, get and gotten, and draw and drawn. One trick to identifying irregular participles is to look at the words that look like verbs in the sentence and find out if they really show an action or if they describe another word in the sentence. For example, in the sentence, he jumped through the broken window, jumped and broken both look like actions, but a person is doing the action of jumping, while the word broken simply describes the window rather than any action in the sentence. Another trick to identifying whether these irregular participles are really working as participles rather than action verbs is to look at the word have that often appears in front of them. If the word have is actually in the present tense in front of the participle, then that participle is functioning as a verb. If the word have in front is actually in the progressive form, having, then that participle is not working as the main verb. It is forming a pattern called a perfect participle, which shows the action of the participle was completed before the action of the main verb. As an example, the sentence, having eaten all the cookies, I began to feel sick. Eaten is the irregular participle, and the word having in front of it makes it a perfect participle. The action of eating the cookies was completed before the action of feeling sick occurred. Eaten is the participle, begins the whole participle phrase, eaten all of the cookies. The perfect participle is not a third type of participle. It's simply a participle phrase pattern where both present and past participle are combined for the purpose of showing completed action. Now would be a good time to talk about what a participle phrase actually is. A participle phrase is a participle and an object that work together as an adjective or an adverb. The object can be a single word or an entire prepositional phrase. A participle phrase is simply an adjective or adverb clause with the subject and verb removed and replaced with the participle. Participle phrases are used to explain cause, effect, time, and event order. An example of a participle phrase showing cause would be, speeding at 90 miles an hour, the car lost control and crashed. Speeding is the participle and shows that that action was the cause of the real action of the sentence, which was losing control. An example of a participle phrase showing effect would be, the man struggled with the problem for hours, losing himself in thought. Losing is the participle that begins the participle phrase, losing himself in thought, and indicates that the real action of the sentence, struggling with the problem, is what made him lose himself. An example of a participle phrase showing time would be opening the door, he saw a terrible monster. This participle phrase, opening the door, is happening at the same time as the main action, seeing the monster. And then lastly, an example of a participle phrase showing event order would be, having conquered the rattlesnake, the farmer felt safer walking his fields. This perfect participle situates events in time. These last two purposes for dealing with time are a major cause of errors in usage with participles, but I'll talk more about that at the end of the episode. Participles can be used for one of those four purposes in place of using dependent clauses in order to make writing more concise. Instead of saying, while I was baking the cookies, I added some vanilla for flavor, I could just say, baking cookies, I added vanilla for flavor. Instead of having to say, after I heard the news, I quickly made my way to the hospital, I can use a perfect participle and simply say, having heard the news, I quickly made my way to the hospital. The subordinate conjunction and subject are no longer necessary if the verb, either baking or heard, is turned into a participle. The deletion of two words may not seem like a lot, but in a long story where you're telling about a series of events, repeating subordinated conjunctions like as and then the same subject over and over, can make your writing boring and monotonous. Varying your telling of events in time or in cause and effect scenarios with participle phrases can help your reader picture them more clearly in relation to time and be more engaged. Participles are also useful for creating a passive voice. While most teachers and professors demand that you avoid passive voice, it can be useful to show an objective tone, avoid placing blame on a person, and to emphasize the subject. A sentence like, the car was hit in a head-on collision, places emphasis on the subject, which is the car. It also doesn't place blame on either of the drivers. However, just like any formation of a sentence, too much can be a bad thing. Let's move to talk about some of the errors that are common with participles. The main problem with participles is that many writers will have a participle phrase that doesn't have a clear word that it is describing or modifying in the sentence. This typically occurs with participles that are acting as adjectives because nouns can be left out of the sentence or be unconnected more than verbs can. An example of this would be a sentence like, hung neatly on the hanger, Sarah examined the dress she would wear. The participle phrase, hung neatly on the hanger, is supposed to modify or describe the word dress, but it is much closer to the noun Sarah, which can make the readers think that Sarah is hanging from the hanger rather than the dress. The sentence would be fixed by moving the misplaced participle next to what it describes. Sarah examined the dress hung neatly on the hanger. Another common error is to leave out the modified word altogether. This is called a dangling participle because there's no word in the main part of the sentence that holds the participle phrase to it. An example of a dangling participle would be checking her bags and securing her ticket. The departure time was finally here. In this sentence, the participles are describing actions that a girl is completing, but there is no girl's name or pronoun in the main part of the sentence for those actions to attach to. Another common error with participles is the creation of impossible actions. Since participles are used to show the order of events, writers often place two events at the same time when it is not possible for those two actions to be done simultaneously. As an example, a sentence like, crossing the street, she finally arrived at her house. Unless her house is in the middle of the street, it is impossible for the woman in this scenario to be actively crossing the street and arriving at her house at the same time. This error is often done when writing dialogue, where a line in a book will say something like, I will destroy you, he said, laughing maniacally. A character can't speak and laugh maniacally at the same time. Participle phrases can also make your writing less effective by being overused and making your writing sound monotonous. When describing actions in narrative writing, it is also common for authors to try to make the action faster by using the time function of participle phrases. But readers naturally pay more attention to the main verb of a sentence. If the important action is made into a participle, the reader will not focus on it. None of these errors, however, are as egregious as the grammatical errors that usually accompany participle phrases. The rule for commas with participles is to always separate the participle phrase from the rest of the sentence with a comma, except when the participle phrase comes at the end of the sentence and immediately follows the word it describes, such as, Billy saw Joel playing the piano. There doesn't need to be a comma separating the participle phrase playing the piano from the rest of the sentence. The only other exception to the comma rule is that a restrictive participle clause, or phrase rather, restrictive participle phrase doesn't need to be separated by commas. Restrictive simply means that it adds necessary information. If I say the guy singing in the square is awesome, the participle phrase singing in the square doesn't need to be separated by commas from the rest of the sentence because without it, we wouldn't know which guy I was talking about. Now let's review. A participle is a part of a verb that ends in ing, ed, or an irregular ending that acts as an adjective or adverb. A participle phrase is simply a participle with an object, and the object can be a single word or many. Participles can be used to shorten sentences and add variety. And lastly, the common errors with participles are misplacing them away from the word they describe, dangling on them on a sentence with no word to attach them to, using them too often or focusing on the wrong action with them, and lastly, not using commas around the participle phrases correctly. That completes our discussion of participles. Having listened to the whole episode, I hope you enjoyed it. The next episode of English Eden will focus on the 5 major comma rules. Thanks for listening and try using some participles. As always, example problems will be posted in the episode description along with the answers so you can test your understanding.